Calling all Swifties and champions of change, Like a Girl Media is rolling out the red carpet for you with our Thrive Like a Girl contest. We're all about celebrating powerful women leaders who inspire us to dream big and push boundaries. And who embodies that spirit more than Taylor Swift herself? Here's your chance to see her live in concert. We're giving away 2 tickets to Taylor Swift's show in London on Saturday, June 22nd. Imagine being part of the magic, all thanks to Like a Girl Media. Entering is easy. Subscribe, share, and show us which episodes inspired you the most. Visit our website or check our social media for all the details. Don't just dream it, be it. Thrive like a girl and make this summer unforgettable. Contest opens globally, void where prohibited, must be 18 or older to enter, no purchase necessary. Subscribe and share with hashtag Thrive Like a Girl and tag us at likeagirl_media for entry. Unlimited entries means unlimited chances. Winner chosen at random after contest closes May 20th, 2024. Will be notified via DM. Make sure your profiles are not private. Check full rules on our site. This is your shot to see Taylor Swift live. Don't miss it. Hello there, and welcome to the Hit Like a Girl podcast. My name is Joy Rios. I'm the show's host, and this is a place where we talk about how complicated the world of healthcare is. The ecosystem is totally crazy. Each one of our guests kind of brings their piece of the puzzle. I liken it to a, how many pieces? 30,000 piece puzzle is what I've been saying, but I feel like it keeps getting bigger and bigger, trying to understand how healthcare works. And every one of our guests essentially brings a piece of it to there. To us, to me, to our listeners, and helps us kind of understand, you know, how your piece helps us make sense of the bigger picture. So I would love to give you a minute to introduce yourself.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And thanks for having me here. So my name is Stacey Fox. I work at Health Gorilla. I am our VP of sales. I lead our digital health sales team at Health Gorilla. I've been in this healthcare space for about 14 years now. Started my healthcare journey at Children's Hospital Colorado. Was very passionate about that mission. My youngest brother actually has Down syndrome, so that's kind of what interested me in getting into Children's Hospital, driving that mission. I was a physician relations representative, so in that role, I spent almost every day in different physician practices, really seeing their pain points, challenges, building relationships, building referrals to the hospital, providing education. Then from there, I went to Carrillo, which is the Health Information Exchange in Colorado. So connecting all of those in that region to sharing data from the healthcare systems to ambulatory, to FQHCs, to government.
Oh, wow.
Which is what led me to Health Gorilla. When I learned about Health Gorilla, I was like, I have to go work there. That is my next passion. So I actually waited for 3 months for a job to open up and thankfully got that job. And here I am 2 years later.
What are you responsible for? You said sales and...
So our digital health sales team.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd love to know more about your journey as far as like on the personal and professional level. I mean, and with your brother's story and also working for the Children's Hospital, I'm sure that those are things that you carry with you. Can you go into any more detail about... I don't know, what you learned and saw in those physician practices and, you know, what's been meaningful for you?
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. It definitely helps drive my passion and my mission for sure. I would say working at Children's Hospital, very mission-driven. You know, my brother's story is definitely one of the reasons why I wanted to work there. I also got lucky because I was in a completely different field for like 10 years and started off as an assistant, was promoted up into a physician relations representative. But being in the practices is really, I think, what led me to kind of my career path. So working with the physicians, one of their biggest pain points is getting access to clinical records outside of their four walls. So I would do a lot of issue resolution within those practices too to try to help build that relationship for Children's Hospital. So a lot of the challenges I would hear about were we can't get access to their medical records and this is why it's very important. We need this to provide better care. We need this to, you know, help them along their care journey. So that was kind of my first introduction into this large challenge that we're trying to solve and that we help solve at Health Gorilla, getting access to nationwide aggregated medical records. but really seeing how it impacts the patient's journey afterwards too. So, and especially working at a large health system and looking at pediatricians, like you need to have a good partnership there because it's not just like, oh, they went to the hospital once and
right.
you're back at your PCP. So there's a lot of back and forth there.
So what were some of the ways in the past that those challenges or problems were solved?
Yeah, great question. So in that role, it was really getting them access to, you know, if they weren't on our direct EMR, we had a UI, like web-based separate login they would have to go to, but they could get access to it. So physicians weren't typically the ones logging in, some of their front desk staff, but it was an extra step and it was outside of their workflow, but they could get access to it. It was better than faxing for sure. So they could log in and get that real time, but it wasn't within their workflow unless they were on our instance of Epic.
Well, and I imagine for some people that may be their whole job description, right? Spending the time to get that information.
Absolutely, yeah.
Wow. So what you're doing now is helping people save a heck of a lot of time.
Yes.
Can you tell me more about being in Colorado? And just because like the Colorado HIE and, you know, some of your experience during that chapter of your life.
Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up in Arizona. I moved out to Colorado for soccer for college and I fell in love with it. I was like, there's four seasons here.
Yeah.
I did not know that. And there's a time change. What is a time change? So really loved Colorado. I live in the mountains in Colorado, 10,000 elevation on 10 acres.
Amazing.
So really get to enjoy the mountain life. But yeah, and when I shifted over to Creo and that role, it's hard to say. It was like you still got to build the relationships, but it was more sales focused. And I am very like data driven also. My nickname in college was Stats.
Why? You just like.
I remembered
this.
Like all the statistics. I remember who scored, when they scored.
That's
I remembered
amazing.
What the outcome was of every game. So everyone called me Stats. So working at Creo, like you see that immediate impact and it's more data driven and numbers driven because relationships are key, I think, in any sale, but it's hard to quantify as well. So I really loved working at Creo as well, and I got to open up and expand kind of who I was talking to on a day-to-day basis and see additional challenges because it's obviously not just tied to primary care and family practice groups, but getting everyone to start sharing data for permitted purposes and creating that network.
I'd love to know, if you don't mind my asking, a little bit more about your athletic journey because it sounds like that has been a big part of your life, especially if it was part of your college career. Like how has the sports kind of impacted and influenced your life?
I feel like sports are just so meaningful and impactful. Like, you know, I want my kids to grow up doing sports their whole life because I think it keeps you out of trouble. You create long, lifelong lasting connections. Like I have friends from 27 years ago that I played soccer with, 30 plus years ago, that I still stay in touch with today. It definitely, my college career really, I would say, impacted, you know, my future and my leadership style for sure, because we created such a strong team bond and we won national championship and we just all got together recently, 20 years later, and it was like we had seen each other last week.
Wow.
So you just create a team environment and that culture and that unity. And that's what I try to create with my team as, you know, a leadership. But I would say soccer in particular, learned a lot of, you know, lessons there. But I was thinking about it recently. And one of the biggest things is like, you know, in soccer, you go backwards so many times.
What do you mean? Like you're literally running backwards?
You kick the ball backwards, right? Like you're going the opposite way. You're not going towards your goal.
Mm-hmm.
But in life, sometimes you have to go backwards before you go forwards.
Absolutely. That's a huge thing. And well, it's all strategic, right? You guys
yeah.
are playing together. When you said the 20-year anniversary or whatever, if it's even more, I would be curious to know about leadership skills from the other women on the teams and how that has tracked over the years. Like, are there any parallels with other women who you played with that like they are in positions of leadership as well?
Absolutely. Yeah. We have tons of them that are in leadership. One of them says chief operating officer out in Sweden. So yeah, lots of women leaders, women in business. None of them are really in the health tech field, unfortunately, but
yeah. I have heard like that, and maybe you can help with the stat, but I have heard that there are, when it comes to women in the C-suite, that one of the common threads among them is that they are elite athletes.
Yeah, I've heard that too. I don't know the stat, but I have heard that.
It's an interesting thread just because and I imagine it comes with the discipline, the routine, and you tell me what else.
Definitely discipline and routine. Those are key. And drive, motivation, a goal in mind, right? Like, and the team environment. Like most sports, even if like my daughter's a dancer, it's still a sport, right? There's still a team aspect and a team component to it. So I think that it really teaches you that you want to have strong, powerful people on your team. Like the leader's not the best at everything. They shouldn't be the best at everything. You want to grow that team and you can only win together as a team.
So how does that show up in Health Guerrilla? Like, is that something that comes into play as part of like the way that you guys strategize and work together?
Absolutely, it does. I mean, I try to create a really strong team culture. I try to utilize each individual's skills and we try to create a lot of even education amongst each other. You know, someone on my team is really good at discovery and what types of questions to answer to really identify pain points and challenges. And then you can have him help other people on the team. And then where someone else might have a weakness, where can we help each other? In sales, you typically could get a team who is like, I'm an individual contributor, I'm just helping myself, but we do not have that culture at all. Everyone helps each other, we win together, we drive towards a team quota. Everyone does have an individual quota too, but it's very team driven. We have daily deal huddles and we just help each other. Like, here's where I'm at with this prospect, this happened. What have you guys tried that was successful for you? So I feel like that has been kind of the biggest win for the team to create that culture.
Yeah. And also, I mean, just like, I like the team huddle aspect and just being able to sort of kick the ball around to each other of like, all right, you're it.
Yeah.
I'll be up here, kick it up my way and I'll take it from there. Are there any other, I don't know, analogies from sports that you can kind of tie in?
It's really creating that team unity in the end. Like that's what you want to create. You want to work hard and play hard. I mean, literally like, I feel like I work so hard, but then I play hard too,
yeah.
You know? So, and I want to show my kids that I can work hard and play hard too. As a woman leader, I think that they see that drive and you have to be passionate about what you're doing. You have to be passionate about your team, your company, kind of your growth and help mentor each other.
One thing that comes up for me is also just considering wins and losses. Right?
Yeah.
And like, how does one take a loss in a way that it doesn't mess everything up, right? Like we can't win every single time. I'm terrible at sports analogies, by the way. Like I don't follow that many sports. So I'm like, if I mess up the analogy, forgive me. But ultimately I'm like, you can't win everything, right?
It is a perfect example. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to lose.
Yeah.
Especially when you think of sports, like you want to be the best, you want to win. Everyone loses. No one wins everything. So that's a great analogy for sure. And my sales team, we won 3 quarters in a row and then we did not have a great quarter. So looking at that and what did we win in that quarter and what did we lose and why did we lose and how do we improve and what do we need to do going forward so it doesn't happen again. But it's the same thing after a soccer game. You get together with the coach and you're like, a debrief, right? What happened? Why did we lose or why did we win? Having that same sort of conversation, you know, after deals or after quarters with the team.
And ultimately, like, what's the lesson, right? Like,
yeah.
Turning the loss into a lesson.
Yeah.
Where did we learn? Can you share with me some of the big goals that you have for you and your team at Health Guerrilla?
Yeah, great question. So my team is very focused in the digital health tech space. We essentially are over a majority of the sales that come into Health Guerrilla outside of like channel partnerships. So we have a lot of customers that are provider organizations, telehealth clinics, payers who are treating providers. digital health tech customers, apps, or software, mm-hmm. like an EMR or a software that supports provider organizations who need access to clinical records outside of their walls. And we are really growing as we become a qualified health information network. Our team is really focused on opening up and unlocking these additional use cases. So individual access and supporting B2B2C model, but how you a patient can actually get access to their record and share that with a third party. So I'm very excited for that growth and then getting into payment and operations and public health. So very exciting growth, but that means that the team needs to grow too, right? So we've got lots of new use cases coming out, which means a lot of new targeted customers that we'll be able to help support to get access to data at the right time. So just continuing to grow the team, but grow in knowledge and education as well.
When I think about all the different types of connections that you inherently need to bring together, how do you come up with the use cases or tackle each one of those? Because like maybe let's talk about some of the use cases other than just a patient being able to access their data at any time. There's so much more than that. Can you share?
Absolutely. So today it's very focused on treatment. So provider treating actively the patient and being able to pull in that medical record. So they can pull in an entire longitudinal aggregated medical record, but they can also just get specific information. So they may just want meds, allergies, and conditions that you don't want it to be overwhelming. So being able to customize with our Firebase APIs to get each organization exactly what they want. I would say every single customer uses us completely different. So we're able to figure out what they need and how they need us. It's going to be the same with all the new use cases. So we have so many different types of customers. It's not like, oh, it's just providers, right? They all are different. So with individual access, and this is all driven by TEFCA and unlocking these new use cases in a trusted exchange framework. So we will be supporting individual access. We actually already launched it. We are piloting it with a few of our customers. We have a partnership with Clear. So the patient does the identity verification, the IAL2 verification on with Clear, and then they can pull in their medical records through Health Gorilla. But for the business, it can all be within their platform with our APIs. And it doesn't have to say Health Gorilla, like it can be customized and white labeled with their solution. So really bringing in that patient engagement into their application. So we've been talking to a lot of patient engagement platforms, clinical trials, pharma, et cetera. But really anybody that has that patient engaged that could pull in their record and then share it with whichever third party they choose. So that's the first unlocked use case. And then when you get into payment and operations, being able to actually use this for prior auth to streamline that workflow is going to be huge.
Oh, tell me more about that. That's such a huge issue.
It is going to be huge. And it's so dependent on faxing right now. And it's such a slow process. So being able to actually query for payment or operations to do some quality measures. There's so many additional use cases that you need access to that medical record, and you know it should follow the patient along the continuum of care. So there's, I mean, we could talk for like 10 hours about all the new use cases and all the different types of customers we'll be able to support.
I want to focus on prior authorization just for a second, because it's one of the biggest challenges that patients face, right? And so how can the Health Gorilla solution help make that whole process better? Tell me.
Absolutely.
That'd be really great.
And you're right. It's like every solution at the end, it goes back and it impacts the patient. And that's the whole goal, right? So we can work with large payers, large health systems through TEFCA, through QHIN. As soon as that use case unlocks, our customers will be able to query through Health Gorilla and that use case will be supported. So it is voluntary at first. So it's going to take time for adoption. It's going to take time for the health systems and EHRs to respond outside of treatment. We will see that unlock. We'll see the response and the return rate improve. So it will be real time. So it will help improve the approvals for prior auths and streamline that workflow and reduce the time.
Yeah, that is huge because, well, I don't know that it'll change any sort of insurance company's mind as far as whether somebody is authorized or not to get treatment, but at least the documentation that they need in order to make that decision can come sooner?
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay.
What about, are you involved in any of the stuff in Puerto Rico? Is that in your wheelhouse at all?
It is not. I'm very familiar with it, of course, but it is not in my wheelhouse. We have a government relation, like salesperson who really streamlined that.
I personally have a personal affinity for that island. And so I'm just like, oh, tell me what you know. Cause I want to, I've heard great things about what you all have done there. So even if it's high level, I'd love to know what you know.
We essentially built an HIE in Puerto Rico. So we are the HIE for Puerto Rico. So that is a little bit different than what we do in the US. We literally are doing more of the point-to-point integration. So getting direct connections to all the hospitals, kind of like what I did at Carrillo. Mm-hmm. So you're building an HIE, you're getting all of the ambulatory practices, health systems connected and creating that complete picture.
And before that didn't exist, right?
Correct.
So there is like where they did not have information that was connected and now that they do.
Absolutely. Yeah. We got to go to Puerto Rico for our sales kickoff. So that was fun, but we worked the whole time and I'm like, I want to go back and actually enjoy
that. Where did you actually go? Where did you go?
I don't even remember where we stayed.
Was it Old Town? Was it like Old San Juan?
It was. Okay. Yes. Yes.
Did you get a chance to experience any part of the island?
Mostly just restaurants, lots of food, eating. Like we even had a big pig one night. We were in trainings and everything all day and then dinner, but I saw the water once.
I feel like that's a really common theme around people that work in healthcare. It's like you get to go to all these exciting places and see the inside of a conference center.
Yes, yes.
Or a hotel.
Yeah, we started our sales like pitches. You could be here, and it was like an office picture, but you're here in Puerto Rico. But then we were actually in a conference room.
I swear, like, I'm like, oh yeah, I've been to Boston. No, I've been to inside of a hotel in Boston.
Yeah.
And like, same situation. If you had advice for women who are following in your footsteps, somebody who wanted, I love to ask people, like, if somebody wanted your job, what would they have had to study or get interested in? You know, what practices would they have in order to do it?
Yeah.
Can you share that with me?
Yeah.
For real, like, whether it's what you studied or if it's just personal, like, practices or way of being, either or.
Absolutely. I would say first, drive and mission. Like, you work hard. There's going to be things you don't know. You have to learn. How do you learn that? Is it reading books? Is it taking courses? Finding a mentor is huge. Finding someone who will mentor you and then you passing that along and mentoring people as well. And go after what you want. You know, if you want to lead a team, start just leading. When I started at Health Guerrilla, we had no onboarding. We had no sales training. I created it. I wasn't a leader when I started. So just start, you know, doing the job you want, essentially, if you have the opportunity to take on additional verticals, take on additional projects, you know, step up and show that you can do that. And hopefully one day you get rewarded.
I love that. There's actually a piece of advice that I love, which has like, stop asking for permission in a way of like, if you see a need actually or a desire to do something, go ahead and give yourself permission to go ahead and do it. Whether or not that's in a corporate setting, but to your point of like, oh, if you want to be a leader, find a way to lead.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great advice.
I have a few people on my team who want to be leaders and I tell them that all the time. Like, start mentoring new people, start thinking of ways you can lead. Where can you help the team today? You know, through training or, you know, is there anything we're missing?
Yeah.
You could create that would help improve the sales process.
I love that. Well, and that's part of it, finding gaps, you know, like we all need support. We all need help. None of us can do any of this by ourselves. So the idea of collaborating, and if you see something, say something, and even better, do something to make a difference. So Stacy, thank you so much for your time today. If people want to follow your journey, if they would like to connect or get involved in any of your work, where would you direct them?
They can reach out to me on LinkedIn, Stacy M. Fox. You know, happy to connect there.
Fantastic. We will send folks your way. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Thanks for listening. You can learn more about us or this guest by going to our website or visiting us on any of the socials with the handle Hit Like a Girl Pod. Thanks again. See you soon. Again, thank you so much for listening to the Hit Like a Girl podcast. I am truly grateful for you, and I'm wondering if you could do me a quick favor. Would you be willing to follow or subscribe to this podcast, or maybe leave us a rating or review? Or if you're feeling extra generous, would you share this episode on your Instagram stories or with a friend? All those things help us podcasters out so much. I'm the show's host, Joy Rios, and I'll see you next time.